today's lucky recipient gets a gallon of oil poured over their head. It's anointing day. Next week will be foot washing. It's called Bible Active Live. All right. What are we doing here? Are we on? Yeah? Oh, my goodness. Hey, howdy, everybody. That's Jewish for shalom. This is Rabbi Joe, and I want to welcome everybody. Welcome everybody in the house. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Come on, you need to do better than that. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Amen. Sound like the 12 people you are.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and Shabbat shalom, friends on live stream. Rabbi Joe, this is for Zion's Sake Ministries. This is the lovely Dawn, Rebbetzin Dawn. And this is lovely Carolyn Chapman joining us up here today, singing with us. And we're going to get underway right now. So, Miss Dawn, you going to lead us?
I am. Here we go. Let's welcome the Shabbat. Put your hands together. Let's rejoice in Him. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat, 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 shalom.
Shabbat, shalom.
Shabbat, shalom.
Shabbat, 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 shalom.
Shabbat, Shabbat,
Shabbat, Shabbat, shalom.
Shabbat, Shabbat,
Shabbat, Shabbat, shalom. Shabbat, shalom. Shabbat, shalom. Shabbat, 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 shalom.
For Zion's sake, silent Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. On your walls I have appointed men, watchmen over Jerusalem. Day and night they will never keep silent, calling Jerusalem. Goes forth, salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
Clear the way for the people,
build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up the standard, behold, salvation comes.
For Zion's sake, I will not keep
silent, Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth,
salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
And just like a glorious ending. Messiah Yeshua. And he's holding a torch.
Yes.
Amen. For us to a beacon of light.
Yes.
He's holding a beacon of light. His truth. Rabbi's going to talk about his truth today. So praise the Lord. What is truth? Let's bless the Messiah who gives us truth. Amen. He is the God of truth.
Amen.
We have a standard. We have a guidance. We know what's going to bring us success and blessing and goodness. It's His truth. It's not to beat us over the head and be mean and stuff like that. God's truth is there to help us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's bless him for his truth. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in our great Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
And how lovely it is to come into his tents, to his courts, and to his house. This is the house of the Lord. And it's goodly. This place is good. Say it's good.
It's good.
Hallelujah. Jacob's tent is good. And God brings blessing in the tent of Jacob. The place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. As for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Amen.
Amen. Vishamru. Page 45 in your prayer books. You'd like to read it with me? I guess we're having some trouble with the screen or the projection. Okay. But not for long. Amen. All right, page 45. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei u'v'nei b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael od hi le'olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim ve'haaretz. Bishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Yom HaShavi, Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash. V'Shamru V'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat
Lasor et ha-shabbat ledoro tamborit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from all to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pray for Jerusalem,
let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the
hearts. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Your word says in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. And we just pray, Lord, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray, Lord. We know that that word means the peace of the Messiah in one heart at a time, Lord. That when every heart is filled with the peace of Messiah, there will be peace in Jerusalem, Lord, in your holy city. Bloodshed will cease. Swords will be beaten into plowshares. Nation will no longer rise up against nation. But it'll be the time of the Messiah. And people will no longer say, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know you. And we just thank you, Lord, for that day that you bring it. Remove the scales from the eyes of your people, Israel, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, from the lowliest street sweeper and waiter and busboy to the generals in the military and the IDF and the cabinet and the Knesset members and the cabinet members and the prime minister. We pray, Lord, for their salvation, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see their Messiah, they would know when they're being deceived, and that they would understand it, Lord, that when they're being used, when they're being played, and that they would come to their knees. We know a day will come when Israel is in distress, and when they will turn to you. The Bible in Zechariah 12 to 14 says, and you will return. Daniel 7 says you will come in the clouds with your holy ones. You'll come and you will save Israel. They will see you coming in the clouds, and they will look upon you whom they've pierced as a father mourns an only son. Hallelujah. And then a fountain will open up and of grace and supplication, and they will mourn for you who they've pierced. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for the Messianic Jews today having services. Pray for their services and the rabbis, that they would preach in boldness and not fear, that they would preach the truth and love and by the Spirit, that they would feed the sheep, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the rabbis that are not teaching truth, that you would remove them. The ones who are teaching false doctrines, and that goes for pastors too, teaching false doctrines and lies, that you would remove them and expose them, remove them, expose their sin. And I pray, Lord, for our executives, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna and bring in the spirit of Eliakim, Lord. Remove the spirit of Shebna from Isaiah 22:22. And bring in the spirit of Eliakim, the spirit of fatherhood, the spirit of humility, the spirit of caring for the sheep, caring for the flock, Lord. We just pray. I pray that you give our executive leaders vision and direction. I pray that they would pray for us, for the rabbis, and the rabbis would pray for the people. And we pray also for the United States, Lord. We pray for our country here. Lord, we just pray that today is the day that the president's fate hangs in the balance. And we just pray, Lord, that justice is done, yes. That your will is done, Lord, that justice is done, and that truth prevails today, Lord, that the truth will prevail, and that we won't see a trial like you had, Lord. But we'll see with the result, although that resulted in our salvation. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. We know that the crucifixion of Donald Trump is not going to result in our salvation. No. So we pray for his that he gets a fair trial and that he gets a just result. Yes. And in the name of Yeshua, we pray that the vote goes according to your will and your wishes, Lord. Have mercy on your people, Lord. Now, cut us some slack, Lord. Have mercy on us. We need a break. cut us a break, Lord. You know, we haven't all been naughty. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you been naughty, Stephen? Nope. Stephen says he hasn't been naughty. So praise the Lord. Aja, have you been naughty? Nope. Aja wasn't naughty. So thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just bless America, Lord, and save us. Save us. Save our nation, Lord. And I don't know if we can be united, but we can be civil. It's possible that we can have civility. Restore civility to our nation. If not unity, restore civility.
Yes.
Lord, we ask in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord, and we just thank you. Thank you for thank you for my wonderful wife and our 24th anniversary this weekend. Hallelujah. I think it's is it Sunday or Monday?
Happy anniversary.
Sunday.
It's Sunday. Sunday is today Valentine's Day?
No, I'm sorry.
No, tomorrow is Valentine's.
I guess Monday.
It's Monday.
Monday is our anniversary.
Amen.
But tomorrow Sunday is your spiritual.
Tomorrow is my spiritual birthday. That's right. I'll be 24 years old spiritually.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I look so young.
Mm-hmm. We go by the spirit, right?
That's right. We go by spiritual years.
Uh-huh.
So, tomorrow is 24 years since I received the Lord, and actually 25 years. And then I married Dawn 1 year and a day later from the day I got saved. It was my Valentine present from the Lord, my gift. But the Lord was my Valentine, so had to go a day afterward. But I think Dawn
couldn't take that place.
I couldn't take that place, but I think Dawn understands. I mean, plus, it was a Saturday night anyway, so it worked out good. Worked out good. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, thank you all for coming today. And what's next, Miss Dawn?
The servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord. And now, let's all stand and we'll say this together. Do we have it on the screen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher nachim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, v'lechtecha v'aderech, v'shachbecha, v'kumecha, v'kashartam, liot al yadecha,
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God,
the Lord
is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen.
Amen. Oh, wow, look what the cat dragged in. Praise the Lord. Who'd like to carry the Torah today? First two to raise their hands. Come on. Aja, you want to carry the Torah? You want a guy? You think a guy? Okay. Wendell, you want to carry the Torah? Okay. And Stephen, why don't you come and open the ark? And Josh, why don't you help Wendell? Because he's getting old and he needs help carrying the Torah. Get yourselves ready. You don't have to come up yet if you're not ready. It'll be a minute.
Mi
hamocha erelim Adonai. Mi hamocha nedar bakodesh. No.
Stephen, what to do with the ark. I appreciate it. He's never done that before. Okay. And the answer to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ba'ein Kamasecha Malchucha Malchut Kol Olamim Umimshaltecha B'chol Dor B'dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Yolam Ba'ed Adonai Oz Yamo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is
nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Nema tova manai sheva tahim gam yahad. Nema tova manai sheva tahim gam yahad. Nema tova sheva tahim gam yahad. Nema tova sheva tahim.
Tovu manayim, sheva tachim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim, sheva tachim gam yachad.
Hine ma tovu, sheva tachim gam yachad.
Hine ma tovu, sheva tachim gam.
Hey, la la.
Vayhi ben Soharom Vayemar Moshe Kurna Adonai Vifutsu Oyvecha Vienusu Misanecha Mipanecha
Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Udvar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdu Shato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you.
For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Just want to say something quick while they're putting the Torah away. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who's he builds AM radio stations around the world. He does a lot for what's that Christian radio network? Trans World Radio. Yeah, Trans World Radio. And but he does a lot, builds AM radio stations all over the world. But anyway, I was talking to him. He lives up the street from me, and he said that showed me a something on his phone. The Israelis have come up with a cure for the COVID-19, not a vaccine, a cure for the COVID-19 virus. I asked him if it was true. He's a very credible person. Very respected fellow in the community, friend of Franklin Graham, and you know, and I said, Tom, I said, is this really, is this the real deal, you know? And he said, yeah, as far as I know, it is. And we are planning to go to Israel over Passover, and Don and I have purchased tickets. Plane was very empty because there's right now a 10-day waiting period. You go in, you have to go to a hotel for 10 days in quarantine, and they bring you meals to your room, I guess, or something, and then you know you quarantine there, and then when after 10 days they test you, and then if you're clear, they let you out in the country. So anyway, but if this is for real, then this would be a really marvelous thing if they have truly found a cure. We need to pray that for the Lord to show us for wisdom, discernment, if it's true. And I really want to go to Israel. I really feel this is the year to go, and I'd love to go. I really want to go for Passover. I believe it's prophetic. But anyway, okay, let's continue. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah Baruchu et Adonai Hamora
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Va'ed
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Yolam Va'ed Baruch Atah Adonai
Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim Ve'natan Lanu Et Torto Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah
Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler
of the universe, who has chosen
us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's Torah portion is Mishpatim, and it means rulings. Okay, peanut gallery's going again. It's from Exodus 21 through chapter 24. Okay, today it says it's rulings, and it's telling us about the rulings and judgments before Israel that God is giving them. You know, he's just, of course, now Moses is telling them orally about the Torah and the things that God wants us to do, which it pertains to us too. So God is telling us also spiritually to refine ourselves until the supernatural becomes a reality or natural for us. It's supposed to be our second nature, that we are to serve God and listen to what he tells us and obey his commandments. Because that's what the Israelites said, we will listen and we will obey. But things got a little out of hand and they didn't listen, they didn't obey. So that's where we're at today and part of that. So we must view everything in life from God's perspective. You see, the Torah is the light that unites all people together. These judgments came, God says, put them before them, which God is saying we are to show them face to face and explain the reasons why God has given us these mishpatims or rulings. You see, the Torah is for our soul and also for our bodies. And the 10 words that God gave to Moses, or the Aserot HaDibrot, which the brot means that it's a wise saying what God has given us. But why did God give us the Torah? It was to make us righteous. You see, the goal of the Torah is a target, and it's met only by achieving by faith and acceptance of Yeshua as the promised Messiah. He is the goal. He is the target of the Torah. By receiving Yeshua, the Torah can be properly understood and concerning the Word of God. It helps you understand what God is trying to tell us, wants us to do. There are three basic categories of instruction from the Torah. The first one is the judgments, which are dictated by reason, like theft or someone kills someone. The testimonials are ones that are commemoration, which means that, like the Moedims, are things that occur each year, a certain particular time, and especially at Passover, we're supposed to eat matzah to observe the Passover. Hukims are decrees. These are supernatural acts that we can't question them or understand the rationale why God has them like that. And that would be like the sota, which is a mixture of that a lady would take to see if she was guilty or not of adultery. And of course, some of the sacrifices, like the red heifer, those are things that are hard to understand why God would pick a red cow to make a sacrifice for, and one that had no other color but strictly totally red. So the knowing God is transcends his we cannot understand God totally, because he transcends all our intellect and our abilities. We're only limited in what we know. So we can't understand God fully and totally why God does some things, like someone who is a very good person gets sick and they die and they suffer for a long time. We don't understand why did that person have to suffer and die like that when other people are just running rampant down the road. It's sort of like like to refer to it, it's the Autobahn to hell. It's where a lot of people are going. Like, I had a friend, he actually drove on the Autobahn and it doesn't have a speed limit unless they put one on there. And, you know, as fast as your car will go, that's okay. But that's the way people are. They're on the road to hell, because it is a highway. It's a four-lane highway. Because if you read in the scriptures, Yeshua said that the road to heaven is a narrow gate. And he says very few are those that enter therein. So that's sort of scary, that he says only a few will enter therein at that gate. So John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. That was Yeshua. You see, Yeshua was and is the new covenant that was embalmed in the world with the Torah. It's part of the Torah. Otherwise, the Torah, if you only study the Torah in a certain way, and it's only a book of intellect, if you don't let the Word seep into your heart and impact your life, then it's just like reading any other book that you would want to read. You see, when Israel accepted the Torah, they took the Torah upon them. They said, we will listen and obey. But they didn't understand all that the Torah was telling them. They didn't understand everything God was trying to transfer to them. But that's where Moses came in, and he was the one that did the oral Torah, which gave them a teaching on it. That's why this Torah today, or this parasha today, is called the Book of the Covenant. It's the Sefer HaDibrot. It's the Book of the Covenant. And we see today that we have a Torah that is written. We're blessed to have that. But we also have the oral Torah, We have the Talmud. We have the Mishnah and the Gemara. These are all books that add to the word of the Lord. Matthew 5, chapter, verse 38 tells us that Yeshua, he transcends everything that is in this world today. And he is truly the one who is the eye for the eye and the tooth for tooth. That's what his name means in Hebrew. He was that because that's what God said. The judgment would be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what God is telling us. So his word, his name in Hebrew, if you look at the lettering on it and the pictograms, it tells you about the eye and about the tooth. That's what God is wanting us to do. You see, Yeshua overcame evil with good. His love transcends due to the fact that he took upon him the curse that it was our curse, and he took upon him the justice that was for us, that now we have a person who stands between us in judgment. And that's Yeshua, because the fact that he died for us, and his he bore our curse, and he bore the justice, which was death, upon the executioner's stake, that makes him the one that we should worship and give all our all to him. And just to close this morning with, in Matthew chapter 17, it tells us about the transfiguration, and we see, and I read it again this morning, it tells us that that Peter and James and John and Yeshua all went to this mountain, and in the scripture it doesn't tell you what the mountain peak was that they went to, but when they came there, Moses and Elijah came to them, and Peter was up at the moment, and I think he said, let's build three tabernacles, one for Yeshua, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But God said, listen and hear my son, my beloved son, and listen to the things that he's telling you, because God embodied everything within Yeshua. He is our hope and our life, and he is the one that will guide us to heaven. Shabbat shalom. Torah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nai Israel Al B'yad Adonai B'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's awesome to have a platoon of men in the house today. Amen. It's awesome carrying the Torah. And so I just want to welcome everyone. I think we're all family here in the house today. And I do want to welcome if there's any visitors online with us. You are on the website. So if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter and stay in touch. As you know, communication is becoming more and more difficult, so we do want to encourage you to sign up for the newsletter via the email so that we can send out notices to you If you haven't been getting it, and you would, if you haven't been getting any email notices, you might want to check, either call the office and check on your address and make sure that it's put in there correctly, or maybe there's a code or something missing. So if you haven't received a newsletter, I don't remember the date of the last one, but it was January sometime. So just check on that. If you aren't receiving a newsletter, then you might not be coded, or your address might have dropped out. So we encourage you to go and either sign in again or call the office and talk to secretary, our administrative assistant, Vicki, and let her help you with that. And she'd be glad to do that. The number is 276. I probably shouldn't say it by 644-16-1678. 276-644-1678. All right. So, and speaking of this, our administrative assistant, Vicki, she sent me a text last night saying that at any moment her dad could be, they've notified that he's on, in hospice situation. So we don't want to keep her in our prayers. She may be needing to go to North Carolina to attend to her father's passing. So please keep Vicki and her family in your prayers. Let's see, just a few announcements, and we'll continue with worship, and then Rabbi's going to come and give us a word. He's got an awesome message planned for us, so please stay tuned. Probably in about another 45 minutes or so, we'll be into the Word of God, and so we want to encourage you to stick it through, or if you need to click out for a few minutes and click back, but don't miss the worship, amen? Hallelujah. And we do encourage you to come and worship with us in person. If you happen to be in the area, we've got room. We've got room, so please come and worship with us. The anointing is here, and God is doing great things. So we appreciate you being online, but we also know the blessing of the Lord is when we're here together, and that's when God's really, he magnifies the power that we have in the Spirit when we're together. And the devil wants us to be separated, to be divided, to be apart. And so part of this whole media thing is to separate us. When we are together in person, that's when the power and the anointing is released, and things happen in the Spirit. So we want to encourage you to press in and not let fear take over, but to be bold in the Spirit. Amen? Bold. We have not had COVID here. We are socially distanced, and we are wearing masks, but God is protecting us. Amen?
Amen.
He is the one who keeps us safe. He is the one who keeps the pestilence far from us, and so I would encourage you to do that as well. Pray that over your family and come into Jacob's tent and let's worship together. Hallelujah. Bring your children, bring your friends, and hallelujah, we have a great time together. Purim is fast approaching, so that's the last weekend in February, and following the service, I would like to have a meeting. Can you stay, Maria? Okay, so Maria and Carol and anybody who is in the Real Housewives Club is, if you will stay for a few minutes afterwards, we'll have a meeting, okay? Because we're going to talk about some activities the next episode of the Real Housewives. All the ladies.
Anybody.
Yes. All the ladies in the house, okay? And so February 25th and 26th is the Feast of Purim. That's when we celebrate the story of Esther and the awesome thing that she did for the kingdom of God and for Israel. And we know that without Esther, Israel would have been lost and the Jewish people would have been annihilated. So it's a feast that is prescribed. God prescribed this feast. It came after the Levitical priests, but it is a biblical feast. God prescribed it. He said, forever we'll remember. We shall remember Esther. Esther. Her Jewish name is Hadassah, but we all know her as Esther. And Mordecai, who was also very brave in what he did and is a hero to us who are people of the Bible. Amen? So let's pay attention. Let's listen to the Lord. Let's hear what he has to say. He is still speaking through this story of Esther. It's a prophetic story. It's not only to remember. It's also to help us today and to look what's in the future. Prophetic. That's what prophetic means. It's something that's an eternal message. It's for what happened. It's for what's today and for what is to come. And so that's the propheticness of the story of Esther and also about the prophetic people of Israel and what they have, their role to play in this world. What role do they have to play? That's a very important one, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for good report for Rabbi this week. Amen.
All right.
Numbers are coming up. Woo! Hallelujah. Victory. Amen.
Amen.
And we are praying. We're continue to pray every night. And so if you are interested in prayer, all you need to do is sign up with Carol on the prayer forum, and she will send out an announcement with the number to call in. And then we all just pray on the phone. There'll be maybe one day a week that we come into the house of the Lord and pray. But one or two days, depending on how, you know, our schedules are. But you can count on being on the phone. So if you're remote, those of you who are far and wide, we invite you, if you're a prayer warrior, we're going to pray powerfully and in the Spirit, and we pray in unity. So please join us in prayer. And as we continue that, the Lord has directed us to begin to do some actions concerning our prayer and intercessions, and one of those is using anointing oil. And that is why we have the oil on the altar, and anyone is free to bring an offering of oil to add to what's on the altar. Thank you for those who made the offering a couple weeks ago, and it's being consecrated. Rabbi's already prayed over it, but we, as it stands in our presence of worship, this oil is being consecrated for his use, to use in prayer and intercession. And so I want to invite anyone who would like to bring an offering of oil. You can still do that. We had thought maybe today that we would anoint the grounds, but because of the rain, Miss Carol, because of the rain, it's too soggy, so we're going to postpone it to next week. God's got the perfect day in mind, amen?
Yes, he has.
And don't miss it, though, so you never know when God's going to say, okay, today's the day, and you don't want to miss it. Oh, I missed it. Oh, no. You know, just come, and you won't miss it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's going to be an awesome day when we do that. Yes. Okay. Just update your phone information for Miss Carol so she can get you on the list for prayer. All right. And one last, I think this is the last announcement. We have an issue with the Torah. Maybe some of you noticed. The scroll is not positioned correctly. So would a few of you men who know how to deal with that, please stay afterwards and take a few minutes to fix the scroll. Can we do that today? Because the more we don't do it, then it's possibly going to damage the scroll. Amen.
That's okay. Fine. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
No. As I said earlier, we're hoping. I heard yesterday from a very credible source that Israel has come up with a cure, not just a vaccine, but an actual cure for COVID-19. I don't know what the difference between a cure and a vaccine is, but that an Israeli scientist or has come up with a cure. So anyway, we're hoping to go to Israel at Passover. If people would like to join us, Don and I have already purchased tickets on the plane leaving from Newark on the first day of Passover, arriving on the second day of Passover, which would be
I think it's the second day that we're leaving.
Oh, it's leaving on the second day of Passover. Anyway, is it leaving Saturday?
Yeah, it's leaving Saturday. Is that the first or the second day?
I don't know. It's leaving the Saturday of beginning of Passover. Yeah. And so with that said, if you'd like to join us, you can look into the tickets. I'm not saying to buy them. This plane was very empty. So we'll just kind of wait and see. And just follow the news. Israel posts, their travel information, for visitors. They post it regularly. And where did you find it, Maria and Wendell? Where yeah. Would you ask her to let you know when that changes?
The other thing is that if you do purchase tickets, because of the COVID, you can get a refund. So, even if you make a reservation, if it doesn't work out, you should be able to get a refund. So that is.
The other thing, too, is you can buy traveler's insurance, which will enable you to shift your trip to a different time. Okay. Anyway, that's all. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings at this time. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these tithes and offerings today. And we ask that you bless the giver and bless the gifts, multiply them 100-fold. We ask, Lord, that you would multiply them 100-fold for the glory of your kingdom, Lord, for the glory of your kingdom. And to build your kingdom, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you protect us. You keep us in the shelter of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty, that you are our refuge and our hiding place, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. And as your word says, that you will bless those who bless Israel and bless the Jewish people, Lord. So if you'd like to participate online, there's a button there, donate button there online. You can participate in giving online. Also, for those here who aren't very familiar, our tithes, our boxes is in the back of the room, and there's a basket next to it. If you have spare change or in your pocket, whatever, if you'd like to give some to help needy people. People who have needs, we we help as they come to us from time to time. So if you have any spare change, there's a basket there. May God bless you as you give. Amen. Amen. She's gonna play some.
Please the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 best. It wasn't much I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Testosterone is what makes...
You know, I don't think she has testosterone, but I do think she does it better than anybody else. I think that's the best version I've ever heard, and many people sing that song, and I think she does it the best of all, but I don't think she has testosterone. So moving right along, I'm going to get my bass on now. I used to have testosterone.
Oh, Joe.
I still have a little.
Now arise, O Lord, to your resting place with all your power and might, as we stand here clothed in your righteousness. We will sing and dance for joy, for you have chosen Zion as a place where you to dwell. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name, and all will bow before the glory of God.
Alright, let's all stand up, put your hands together. Israel, put up thy slumber, and the truth shall set you free. For out of Zion comes thy deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Awake, O Israel,
put up thy slumber,
and the truth shall set you free.
For out of Zion comes thy deliverer
in the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh hallelujah, oh hallelujah,
hallelujah, praise the Lord. For in the furnace of much affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and so for iron I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold.
Out there want to dance, go join them.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's okay to dance if you have testosterone.
Hallelujah. Come on, guys, let's do it. Thou art my chosen.
Oh,
Blow that shofar in your ear, like you're dead asleep. You're like, I stayed up too late last night, and God is blowing that freaking shofar in my ear.
Amen. Amen.
So wake up. Amen. Go take a shower and get out of bed. Hallelujah. Because he's heard your cry. You asked him a question. Did you ask him a question? Because he's ready to answer you. What was the question? May the Lord answer you, because he's going to answer you from his sanctuary. You help from the sanctuary and grant you lift up that banner. Above us, he's got a banner. He's got a banner above us that says Yeshua, and it's got the blood of Yeshua poured all over it. Hallelujah. And it's there to conquer every demonic and evil foe. Amen.
Amen.
Shall go forth. shall be a fountain in the city to cleanse all the people from sin. And with the tree of life in the midst of her, for the healing of the nation, and all the world will see Yeshua, and all the world will see salvation, and all the world will see Yeshua, and all the world will see His King. There shall be a sign in the heavens, and all the land will mourn for Him.
Desert for the redeemed of the Lord, and the mouth of the Lord of hosts will proclaim His word, and it will cut like a fiery sword to the hearts of men, and all the world will see that He is Lord. All the world will see that the truth has been spoken all along. And all the world will see that He was not a liar, but that He was a lover of men's souls, a lover of men's, people's hearts, a pursuer of our deepest intimate thoughts and dreams. He is the God of love, and we have despised Him. We have rejected Him. We have lifted our fist to Him in rebellion, and yet He loves us. And He comes to heal and to bring healing. Let us worship Him. He is the lover of all loves. He comes to heal every broken heart. He comes to live and to give life.
Going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, and if you're watching at home and you have some matzah or crackers, some fruit of the vine of your choice, Welch's, Manischewitz, Carmel, Mogen David, whatever you prefer, feel feel free to join us. Get your elements ready, and we're going to make our way to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. We don't really actually go to the Lord's table right now. We kind of talk about it. We have these COVID cups, COVID-free cups. No COVID. No COVID cups. Anyway, want to look forward to the day when we can come up to the Lord's table and share and line up and share the elements together. But for right now, we have these cups. Whoops. If that had been in the Catholic Church, I would be in big trouble. Ooh. Okay. Inside joke. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeshua was crucified on Passover, and the Last Supper was a Passover meal. The Bible tells us in Luke 22, he said to his disciples, "Go and prepare the Passover that we may eat." And so he said at that Passover meal, he took the third cup, the cup taken after the meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And then he blessed it, and so I'm going to bless it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. And then, along with the third cup in every traditional Jewish Passover, the afikomen is taken, and that's the little piece of bread that's broken. It says that he took the bread, the matzah, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples in pieces. And he said, "This is my body given for you. This is my body given for you." Now, we don't believe it's his actual body. We believe it represents his body. He was saying, "This is what's going to happen to me. You know, they're going to break me. They're going to crush me." He was crushed. And they're going to pour my blood, shed my blood. And he was trying to explain to them what was going to happen to them that night or that next day. And I don't think they understood it even then. But you and I understand it looking back. And so Jewish people today, they take this, they still at the Passover take the cup of redemption. They take the bread, but they call it dessert. They call it afikomen and the cup of redemption. They call it dessert. And then they go and have a sweet dessert. They eat this dessert, then they go have a second dessert, which is a little sweeter, you know, something without leaven in it. Usually angel food cake or with strawberries, you know, like a strawberry shortcake kind of thing. Wendell likes that. Now they've come up with all kinds of things. They can make chocolate cakes and brownies and tastes just as good as the real stuff. So anyway, hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. But anyway, we invite you all to come to and join us as we partake. All we ask is that you be a believer in the Messiah. At home, if you're watching and if you're here visiting with us, you don't have to be a member of our congregation. You just have to believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, and that he rose from the dead on the third day. And if God has revealed his Son to you and you have received forgiveness through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, then you're welcome to come and share. If not, Paul says this is a cup of wrath. If you don't know the Lord, he advises you, he warns you not to take this cup because you're drinking a cup of, you're drinking the sins of the world. That's really what you're doing. Because if you don't have forgiveness for the sins, then you're partaking of the cup of sin. You know, that's what he took on the cross for us, was really the cup of sin. And he said, you know, "Father, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass from me." And he said it twice. And then he said, "No, not my will, thy will be done." And then he took the cup with to the dregs of all the sins, of all the filth and squalor and sickness and disease and filth and perversion, just greed, pride, lust, selfishness, hatred, murder, envy was in that cup. And he took it. He doesn't want you to take, he doesn't want you to share in that cup with him. And so if you're in Messiah, you're free. You get to take the next cup. That's the cup of redemption. But if you're not a Messiah, you're drinking the cup of wrath. That's the second cup. And so a cup of plagues. So let's bow our heads for a minute. If there's anybody watching today, if you'd like to meet the Messiah and you haven't met him yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Wherever you are, in your car, in your house, in your office, just raise your hand and just say, Rabbi Joe, even though I can't see you, just by faith, Rabbi Joe, I want to meet the Messiah. I've been watching the service today, and I just want to meet the Messiah today, Lord. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. And it's not so much what we say as it is what's in your heart. If you'd like to meet the Messiah. And if you're here today visiting and you'd like to meet the Messiah, just pray with me. Dear God, I have made many mistakes. I have blown it. I have not kept your laws. I have failed in life. I fail every day. I fall short of my own goals, let alone yours. I fall short, and I need forgiveness. I need your forgiveness, God. So I ask that you wash me with the blood, cleanse me with the blood of Yeshua, wash me with the water of the Holy Spirit, and come into my heart, Yeshua, and dwell in me, and give me a new life. Set me free from the chains of my old life. And give me a new life today. And come into my life. Direct me. Teach me. Speak to me. Be my friend. Put my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you met the Messiah today, please contact me and I have a gift for you. So, with that said, to all believers, L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Hallelujah. Isaac, if you'll get the Facebook ready. Yeah, put on my shirt. Test 1, 2. Can you hear me now? Test 1, 2. How can you hear me out there?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. So let's pray for the word of the Lord. Today's message is called. I was gonna do a message. And by the way, last week I spoke on the super blood moon of January 20th, 2019. And as I was speaking on it, I had written an article on it 2 years ago. And if you read the article from 2 years ago, it's like you're reading something from this week. Or the news, it's like you're reading something right now, you know. What I didn't point out, though, what didn't strike me as I was reading it was the date. The super blood moon in 2019 was January 20th, 2019. And a super blood moon is when the moon is closest to the Earth, so it's very large. It's a very large moon. And it was, that's what makes it a super blood moon. It's not only red in color, but it's the Earth and the moon are very close to each other. And so the moon appears larger than it is. It's a huge moon in the sky. And that super blood moon, you can look it up, was January 20th, 2019. And I was speaking last week about an Israeli rabbi, Yekutiel Fish, who teaches prophecy in Israel and biblical prophecy. He's not a believer, but it is the tradition of rabbis that the blood moons, and it says the Bible tells us that when the blood red moon is the last event before the great tribulation and the coming of the Lord is the sign of the great tribulation and the return of the Lord. It's the last sign given before his return is the blood red moon. So anyway, I thought it was interesting as after I gave the message, it occurred to me, and I'll tell you when to hit that, Isaac, I won't do it yet, but after I gave the message, it occurred to me that I didn't focus on that date. It didn't strike me till afterwards that that's the date of the inauguration, January 20th. It was 2 years before the inauguration of Joe Biden. And in Jewish teaching, a blood moon speaks of war, judgment, wrath, great, great distress, tribulation upon the nations where you see it. So when the blood red moons of 2014 and 15, which took place on Passover and Sukkot, the tetrad, the blood red moons of 2014 and 15, which took place on Sukkot and Passover, were visible in Israel, and that was speaking of judgment coming to Israel and war, and you know, troubles coming, you know, will be coming to Israel soon. But what the rabbis teach is that if it's the judgment and the war and the distress will come upon the nations who can see the blood moon. And the blood red moon of January 20th, 2019 was not visible in Israel. It was visible in the West. It was visible in the United States. I believe it was visible in Europe. But it was not visible in Israel. And it was very visible in the United States, and so Rabbi Fish was teaching that the blood moon of 2019 on the same date 2 years prior to the inauguration of Joe Biden, and I think that's God says, if you turn to Genesis 1:14, it's page one, actually, you know, front page news. I love it. I love front page news. You know me. Those of you who know me know that I teach Matthew page one all quite often as front page news, headline news. And this is headline news here. When God says in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Genesis, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And then in verse 16 he says, God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And so God tells us on front page news in Genesis 1, the first page of the Bible, that he gave us signs in the heavens. And there have been many signs, and we're not going to focus on that today. That's not my message. I was going to teach on that today, but he redirected me to teach on what is truth. So I've changed my message, had to change it this morning because he changed it overnight. I woke up and he said, you're not teaching what you think you're teaching. Okay. Yes, sir. So, but this is important, guys and gals. God says, not Joe, not Rabbi Joe, but God says he gave us the sun and the moon and the stars and signs in the heavens as signs, you know, road signs along the way, directing us, helping us understand the times and the seasons. And it tells us right here in verse 14, it says, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Mark your years and your days and your seasons. You know, you'll know what season you're in, not just winter and summer and spring and fall, but you'll know what season of the age that you're in. You know, that are you at the beginning of the age, in the middle of the age, or in the end of the age? It'll help you to understand the times we're living in. Amen? Amen. And just what Yeshua referred to the fig tree, that when you see the fig tree in blossom and ripe and the fruit on the fig tree, you know that summer is near. When you see the leaves on the fig tree and the fruit starting to grow, you know that summer is near because the figs are starting to grow in Israel. And that's the sign that it was a sign of the restoration of Israel. It's also a sign that summer is coming. You know, it had a double meaning. Amen. Yes, we need to turn that on. And let's just pray with me now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word now. Just anoint me, empty me of Joe. Bring forth your message in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Bring forth your word now and bind the enemy. And just bring everyone you want to listen and watch. Bring them on to the video. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you. All right. So let's turn to John 18. Let's begin in John 18, 38. Hallelujah. Are we on there? Welcome, Facebook friends. Let's all give Facebook friends a big hand. Hallelujah. Shalom. Today's message, friends, is what is truth? John 18, 38 is the scripture of the day. And we'll read a little bit. Yeshua was brought before Pilate. First, he was brought to the high priest. And then they led him from the priest. They led him to the governor. This was on Passover. This was the day of his crucifixion. And let's read in verse 28 of John 18. Then they led Yeshua from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled. The praetorium was the compound where the governor, the Roman governor, lived. But they didn't want to. The Jews felt that they would be the religious Jews that would considered them would be defiled if they were brought into the into a house of a Gentile, especially on a high holy day. But that was not, you know, the religious Jews would not never even they no, most Jews would not enter the home of a Gentile in those times. And when they did, you know, like Cornelius, Peter went to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. It took an act of God with the sheet coming down with the unclean animals, and God saying, you know, God had to deal with Peter to prepare him that he was going to be going to Cornelius' house. And Peter wasn't exactly the most religious guy, you know. And so, but let's not, we don't want to dwell there, but let's read here. So the Jews, they didn't want to be defiled, verse 28, so they could eat the Passover. Verse 29, therefore Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, even if this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." To fulfill the word of Yeshua, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Yeshua and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Yeshua answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" In verse 35, Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is," by the way, those of you who are listening to me, who are Christian, realize that Jesus is a Jew. So when it says handed over to the Jews, talking about the governing authorities in Israel. I'm not sure, you know, the way it's translated, it makes it sound like he's French and he's being handed over to the Jews. You know, it's Jews arguing with Jews about a Jew. When you read the New Testament, you're reading a book that's written, it's mostly a book about Jews arguing with Jews about a Jew. Okay? Not only a Jew, the king of the Jews. Amen? And I think a lot of anti-Semitism throughout church history has been because of verses like this that say, you know, where it says, you know, when it talks about the Jews that way, where was that verse that I was talking? Where was I there? 36, okay. Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews." He was saying his own people. "But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Yeshua answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" What is truth? There's a lot going on in that one line right there. What is truth? Now, let's read a few scriptures about truth before we get into it. Psalm 119:42 says, "Your righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and your law," or your Torah, "is truth." So God's law is truth. Okay, God's Torah is truth. Proverbs 12:17 says, "One who declares truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit." So truth is being honest. In this case, on the witness stand, you know, when you're witnessing against somebody or for somebody, when you tell the truth, you're being honest. So honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Seriously, that's very true. Billy Joel was right. He was right. Most people are untrue. And honesty is a lonely word. But being honest is connected to the truth. So when you're an honest person, you're a truthful person. Amen? So God's law means that when you're honest, even if what you're saying isn't something that God said to do, if you're honest about it, you know, I saw Bobby take some matches and go behind the building and light a stack of newspapers and set the building on fire, he told the police. Well, did Bobby do it? Yeah, Bobby did it. Did Scott see Bobby do it? Yeah, Scott saw him do it. He really did. he was being honest, and he told the police what Bobby did. And Bobby got in trouble with the police. Now, that's being a true witness. So that's where it fits into the law of God. But the actual events or the facts of the event have nothing to do with the Bible, except other than that whether they're true and honest or whether they're deceitful and false. Amen? That's how it connects to the Word of God. So a lot of events that happen in the world are not in the Bible, but it's the intent behind those words, whether they're spoken in honesty, they're spoken in genuineness, or whether they're spoken in falsehood, makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. Okay, let's go on. Let's read a couple other verses here. Proverbs 14:25. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who declares lies is deceitful. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, atonement is made for wrongdoing. By mercy and truth, atonement. Now that's interesting because that's kind of predictive of the gospel. The gospel is the truth. And Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by the Son, or but through the Son. In other words, John 14:16, Yeshua said, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No one comes to the Father but through the Son. So to get to the Father, you have to go through the Son. And to get to the Son, you have to know the Son. You have to have your sins forgiven. You have to be righteous. You have to be a righteous person. And you have to walk in truth. Amen? And another verse says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. So Yeshua left and He sent us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth. So truth is the Messiah. And then another verse, John 16, Romans 1:25. John 1:7. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. So he brought, Yeshua is this book of the law, the book of the Torah was pointing to Yeshua, pointing to him. Most, you know, the first, I don't know how many books, but here we go. This is the Old Testament. Was pointing to the New Testament, to the story of Yeshua, of Jesus. Now this, it's all really the story of Yeshua. It's just, as they say, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now some people are saying, well, that's not Jewish to call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. I understand that, but we have Christian friends watching, and they don't know that the Old Testament is called the Tanakh in Jewish. People refer to the Old Testament as the Tanakh, which is an acronym for the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The Nevi'im being the prophets and the Ketuvim being the writings. And the Brit Chadashah, which is the New Testament. Brit meaning covenant, the new covenant. And Chadashah meaning new. So the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah. So it's really the New Testament is better translated as the New Covenant. And but for the sake of our Christian friends who don't know what a Tanakh is or a Brit Chadashah, we're just going to call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? So please don't email me and message me and tell me and correct me on that. I know what the real words are. I know the original. Thank you. They do. They send me stuff like that, you know. Bless their hearts. All right. Now, John 8:31 says, "Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, Yeshua is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So to know Yeshua, it's almost like a play on words, because the Torah, the law, is truth, but without Yeshua, it's not complete truth. Does that make sense? No one is saved reading the Torah. And only what brings salvation is the complete truth. Only what brings salvation is the complete truth. So you have to have the new covenant together with the old covenant, is to have truth, a complete truth. Amen? And even if you have it, it can sit on a shelf and collect dust. You know, all your life, it can sit on your bookshelf and collect dust, and moths can eat the pages of it while it decays on your bookshelf, and you go out and you know, live like, you know, live your life in sin. So you got to know Yeshua the man. You got to know Yeshua the Messiah personally. You have to have a relationship with the Messiah to know the truth. You not only have to know the book, you have to know who the book is talking about, right? You have to know his history, his story, amen? And you have to believe his story, because all history is about him. Ultimately, it's his story. The whole of history of mankind is really about him. Ultimately, everything leads us, all roads lead to Jerusalem. Now, one of the problems with Christianity is that Christians are, they started on the road to Damascus and they never went back to Jerusalem. they just kept going. They went west and they went north and they went east, but few of them went back to Jerusalem. And Christians, you know, Yeshua said, "I have come to seek the lost sheep from the house of Israel." He was talking, and the reason he went to the north is because the northern kingdom split off from the southern kingdom at the time of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and this false king Jeroboam who rose up, very much like the times we're living in now. The people rose up against their leader, and they split up, broke off from the Davidic kingdom, and they established a new kingdom in the north called, they called it Israel. It was the 10 tribes split off, and they set up worship places, altars at Dan and Bethel. So for a couple of purposes, the new king, even though it says it was not of, it was false, God said he was doing it intentionally. I don't, why he did it, I don't know, but he did it to teach us a lesson, obviously. And so Jeroboam, the king of the north, who was not of the Davidic lineage, he was not in the line of David, he was not an heir to the throne of King David or the Davidic monarchy, set up altars and it says he created new holidays. And why would he do that? Why? And false gods. They worshipped Baal, the cow god, you know, the bull, Baal, the bull. The Israelites, the Egyptians had worshipped cows, and it was very, it was one of the gods of Egypt was the cow. And so the Israelites were familiar with worshiping bulls and cows. Amen. And it was a fertility. It was considered a fertility god, Baal. and also Asherah, which was the Canaanite word for Ishtar, which is the Babylonian word for Isis, which is the Egyptian word for Esther, which is the Hebrew word for Easter. And it's all the same. It's all Greek to me. It's all the same God, just different names. And she was a fertility goddess, and so they made Asherah poles, worshiping the Canaanite goddess Asherah, and they worshiped Baal, the bull god, you know, who is the god of fertility. They worshiped pagan gods. Why would their pagan king of Israel, who broke off from the 12 tribes and took 10 tribes north back in 1 Kings 12, why would he set up new centers of worship and not let the people go to Jerusalem? Why would he create new holidays? Well, I'm going to tell you. Money. People would bring their offerings to his worship centers and not to Jerusalem, so he would get the money. And power, he would control the priests, the priesthood, everything that went on. He had the power over the religion. The religion didn't have power over him. He created the religion, and he had power over it. Some would say today that this new world order that we're entering into, or that's taking over, is a religion unto itself, and its God is the government. Its God is the government, and eventually, its leader, when the Antichrist is revealed, and I believe he will be soon. I believe he's walking among us in this world today, and I think I have an idea who he is. I'm not going to go down that road today, but he ultimately will call himself God and sit in the temple of God as God and set himself up as God, like Antiochus Epiphanes did during the Hanukkah story. So everything that was will be, and everything that will be has already been. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. So we're talking about truth, and I don't want to get too far away, but I'm trying to get our arms around truth. So truth is Yeshua. Yeshua is truth. Yeshua combined with his word, when Yeshua spoke, that was truth. What he spoke was truth. He only spoke the truth. His words lined up with the word of God. Now, mind you, the Greeks and the Romans didn't have a Bible. They had no Messiah. They didn't have a concept of truth. Do you understand that? Truth wasn't part of their, just as Messiah wasn't part of their vocabulary, truth wasn't really part of their vocabulary. They didn't have a moral compass. They didn't have a plumb line. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have Judeo-Christian values. Okay? They only had the philosophers, and Socrates, and they had Aristotle, and they had, you know, different philosophers of the time and the period, you know, who they could look to for wisdom. But sometimes those guys actually spoke truth. Other times they didn't. You know, they believed in multiple gods. They were what do you call that? When you worship multiple gods, polytheism. They were polytheistic. They had gods for every occasion. Amen. They had Neptune, the god of the sea, and Jupiter. What was he, the sun god, Jupiter? Or was that Zeus? One of them. Jupiter. They're the same. One's Roman, one's Greek, aren't they? Yeah, I get confused with all their gods, and I'm not up on it, you know. But my point is that when Pilate said, "What is truth?" you have to realize here's a man who belongs to an empire. Now think back to the British monarchy that we pulled away from 250 years ago, nearly. We broke away from that monarchy because truth and law were based on what the king said. Whatever the king said was truth. Whatever the king declared was law. And so when the king said, you know, levy a tax on them, or, you know, attack the colonies, fight them, deprive them of their grain, deprive them of food, starve them out, you know, it was okay. You know, now there's a little difference between King George III and Caesar Augustus or Julius Caesar, and the difference is Christianity existed in England in the 18th century. Christianity did exist in England, and was, you know, the British monarchy was supposed to, well, the British monarch was the head of the Church of England, or still is, and many of the British soldiers were good Christian people. Many weren't. Same thing with our soldiers in World War II and all through history. Many were godly, God-fearing men and women, and many have no idea who God is. And could care less. You know, they were just out there fighting the wars. And many went down to Sheol, to hell, without knowing the Savior. And that's been the story of war from ages immemorial. Okay. So, Pilate said, "What is truth? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is truth? He didn't really have a concept like a Jew of what truth would be. In that John 18:38, you know, he could only go by whatever kind of seemed right to him. You know, he went by. He was dictated. What made this guy tick was dictated by who was over him. So his life was filled with trying to please his superiors, so that he could keep his job, his privilege, and his power and his money. Amen. Because if he didn't, then he would lose his job. And he would lose possibly his head. You know, so he had to please his superiors. So he had to be careful. He was the governor there in Judea, and they had this guy who claimed to be the king, and you know, they already had a king that Caesar had established, named Herod, or one of the Herods. Herod was the king, and. Anyway, he was appointed king by the Greeks, by the Romans. So he was a false king. Herod was not. He was not of the line of David. He was not a Davidic king. He was not a godly king. He was not a king who followed the law. He was a wicked king. He was an evildoer. He was a sinner, just like Caesar, just like Pontius Pilate. Amen. And then here you have Pilate. They bring this guy on Passover one year, who's the Messiah. They bring him to his house. He has no preparation. He has not read the Bible. He thinks the Jews are something like stepping on chewing gum on the bottom of your foot, of your shoe. You know, that's his opinion of the Jews. Or, you know, they're just rabble. They're, you know, he has a very low opinion of them. But his job is to govern them and to keep the peace. His main job is to govern them, keep the peace, and collect the taxes. It's basically what his job is. Keep the peace in the region where he's the governor, collect the taxes, and maintain order. And as long as he did that, Rome was basically pleased with him. The emperor would be pleased with him. And he had a chance of promotion, going to maybe a greater kingdom or a greater, being a governor of a greater territory or something, you know. This situation where with the Messiah presented him with a very sticky situation that he really didn't want any part of. And he washed his hands of it. You know, he didn't want any part of this because this was really political. This was a big hot potato, because here they are trying the Messiah, the king, is the king of the Jews, the leader of Israel, the true leader, the de jure leader of Israel, not the de facto. Herod was the de facto. You have to understand, de facto means the accepted leader. The de jure leader means the leader by law, the one who's the true, the elected leader. We've been going through a situation like that in this country over the past month or so, or actually for the past 4 years, where they never accepted the election of Donald Trump. Many in this country never accepted his election as legitimate from day one. And they charged him, said that the Russians, interfered with the election, which was proven to be false by the Mueller investigation, which they spent $50 million or more, to try to prove that Trump was... they impeached him. They failed at trial. They impeached him in the House. They failed in trial in the Senate the first time. They failed to understand impeachment. You get impeached in the House according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2 and 3, I believe, of the Constitution. You're a president or a vice president or a senator or a congressman, can be impeached by the Congress, and then they're tried by the Senate. And if it's the president, he has to be tried by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, number one. Number two, there has to be a two-thirds majority of the Senate to convict him. In the trial, to convict him of the charge, has to be a two-thirds majority vote against him. And number three, he has to be a sitting president. You cannot impeach a former president because he's not in office. He's a citizen. He's an ordinary citizen like you and me. Amen. And just if they could impeach an ordinary citizen, they could impeach you and me. Now, I don't know why his lawyers, and I didn't watch the trial, except just last night, I happened to stumble on a news program just as my sons were getting home. My wife and I stumbled on his defense, his defense yesterday. And I thought he gave a pretty good defense. And because... The case that they're bringing against the president, they were saying the one thing they're saying is that he inspired, what's the word I'm looking for? He incited the riot at the Capitol. However, his lawyers played all of these left-wing and Democrat media and politicians and talking heads from the media saying that they had proof that the impeachment, that the incitement was planned, that the attack on the Capitol had been planned a week before, or months, or even weeks before. So how can it be, how could he have incited going into the Capitol, the mischief that went on in the Capitol? By the way, the five people who died were all Trump supporters. I don't know if you know this. One man brought a group of people to the Capitol, and he brought a bus full of people from Maryland, I believe, and he had a stroke on the lawn of the Capitol, and he died. Another man didn't take his blood pressure medication, and he was on the lawn of the Capitol, must have been a little excited, and he had a heart attack and died. A third one, a woman, was a former soldier. She was a Trump supporter, and she was crawling through a window in the Capitol building, and she was shot by a Capitol police officer. That's three that died. A fourth one was a police officer, and they said he was beaten with a fire extinguisher, but the truth came out that he had inhaled too much pepper spray or tear gas. There's a debate as to whether it was bear spray or whether it was from the Trump supporters spraying, or whether it was the police tear gas that overcame him. They don't know. They haven't said what really killed him. So far, no charges have been brought against anybody. He was a Trump supporter. He was a Capitol police officer. Does anybody know how the fifth person died? There was one more person, or five that died. There was one more. They were all Trump supporters. No Democrats, no senators, no congressmen died in the shenanigans that went on at the Capitol that day. Do I support that? No, I don't. I don't think they should have gone in there. I don't think they should have. I think they had disrespect for the people's house. I think that it was wrong to go to sit at people's desks and put their feet up on desks, and it was wrong to break things and to steal things. It was disrespectful. It was not a proper way to conduct themselves. Do I think it was incited? How can I think it was incited by the president when the left themselves, and they played a montage of media saying that they had been tipped off a week before that it was going to happen, and that the president himself had been calling for the National Guard for at least 2 days before? He'd been calling several times for the National Guard, and the chief of the military had told the head of the National Guard, stand down. Tell your people to stand down. They had the minimal amount of police at the Capitol that they could have on staff. They had the minimum amount. They could have brought in 100 more Capitol police. They didn't. Why not? And then the police that were there, they moved the barriers and they invited the people into the Capitol. Why would they do that? Unless they wanted it to happen. Unless they wanted it to happen. Why would they do that? So, but the whole thing, here's the thing about truth. The president was impeached by the Congress with no trial. Let's look at the trial of Jesus, of Yeshua. In chapter 19,
in verse 28. Then they led Yeshua from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter. We read that, we're in verse 37. Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Yeshua answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19. Pilate then took Yeshua and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him, and they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Yeshua then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God." Okay. They have a law. They did have a law. Bearing false witness is probably the legal case against the Messiah. If we had to make a case against the Messiah, it would be that he bore false witness of who he was. That the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes would have argued that he lied about. You know, he violated two laws, two commandments. He lied, it would have said, and he bore false witness as to who he was. He claimed to be the king, the son of God. He claimed to be the king of the Jews. Claimed to be the Messiah. To them, it would be lies and false witness. Would you agree with that, Dave? That would be the legal argument they would make against him. Had there been one, he didn't have a chance to form a defense. He didn't have a chance to bring in, and I don't know that there was an Alan Dershowitz or a Jay Sekulow whoever the other lawyers were, you know, Rudy Giuliani or whatever. You know, I don't know that there were any lawyers who would stand to defend the Messiah. He spoke for himself on his own behalf. Now, was he telling the truth, Wendell? Yeah. He's the king. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Is there anyone who doubts that in this room? So he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. Amen. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. It was his word against the unbelieving leaders. And so, where was I here? They wanted to crucify him. Pilate didn't want to. He was actually afraid. And let's read what it says. So they said, "Crucify, crucify." And verse 7, chapter 19, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Yeshua, "Where are you from?" But Yeshua gave him no answer. So Yeshua intentionally
It says in Isaiah 53, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. Verily, he did not open his mouth. He didn't defend himself. He did not present a defense. And he didn't have any counsel with him. He knew where he was going. He was going to the cross. He knew that was his assignment that day, and he knew what he had to do to get there. Because you wouldn't be here if he didn't go to the cross, and I wouldn't be here. Amen? So he at least had the opportunity to defend himself against in a system where people could be crucified without a trial. People could be accused of things and just thrown in jail, have their property taken, have their women raped and pillaged, and be sold off into slavery, or be conscripted into the military. That's the society which Pilate was a part of. They had no morals, they had no scruples, they had no concept of good and evil. What is truth? But he did know fear. They did know it was a fear-based form of government where the people feared. And in governments around the world where tyranny reigns, they rule with fear. They rule by the rod of iron. Amen. That's how they keep the people in submission, by penalty of death, by penalty of torture, by penalty of taking losing your property, by penalty of having your livelihood taken away, which they did to the Jews in Nazi Germany. And you'll notice if you study, and I'm not an expert on the laws of the Germans, that the Germans instituted some 400 laws against the Jews between 1938 and 1939. In 2 years, they instituted. You notice President Biden has signed some 50 laws into existence with his executive orders in just 2 or 3 weeks. Some 50 laws. The Nazis came up with 400 plus laws against the Jews. Some of them were strange. Jews can't have carrier pigeons. Carrier pigeons was the closest thing to social media back then. Jews couldn't have a passport unless it had a big J stamped on it. Jews couldn't own silver or gold. I'm not saying when these laws came in, but slowly, gradually, they were added. Jews couldn't own businesses. They couldn't own gun shops, was one of the laws. Gradually, Jews, during the Holocaust, leading up to the Holocaust, were cornered. The laws put them into a corner where they had no rights whatsoever. They had no... And they had no protections by the government. And what you're seeing right now in this country is the start of that. Is when you're starting to see, even though, and I was listening to somebody, an expert on the First Amendment as I was coming here today, talk about that Facebook and social media, since they are private companies, they have the right to remove anyone they want from their platform. And they just removed Robert Kennedy. I don't know if you know this. Robert Kennedy is against vaccinations. So one of the big platforms, either it was Twitter or Facebook, took down his page and banned him, because Robert Kennedy, the son of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.,
the son of Robert F. Kennedy, the man who ran for president, was shot to death by Sirhan Sirhan in 1968. That Robert Kennedy Jr. was banned from Twitter or Facebook because he's anti-vaccine. What is it about speaking out against the vaccines that has, when I was in college in Vermont, we had an ice cream company in Burlington, Vermont, where I went to college. It was called Ben and Jerry's. And I lived up the street from the original Ben and Jerry's when I was in college. I rented an apartment up the street from the original Ben and Jerry's. So at 11 o'clock at night, my junior and senior year, it's amazing I'm so slim, because I would go down and buy a pint of Ben and Jerry's almost every night at about 11 o'clock. And they had a barrel, they had a bin, a frozen, like a cooler, of factory seconds. And so if they had a pint of ice cream that had too much peanut butter, too much fudge, or too much air, too many chocolate chips, whatever was wrong with it, usually it was in your favor. It was like too much chocolate, too much peanut butter, too much good stuff. They would sell it for a buck. So you could get a pint of Ben and Jerry's for a buck, and if you went to the factory seconds cooler, you didn't know what you were going to get, but it was always worth taking your chances. And so I frequently would frequent Ben and Jerry's, and a very great communist ice cream company. Probably the best communist ice cream company in the United States. With that said, I eat very little Ben and Jerry's anymore. But anyway, that's just an aside. What was I talking about before we got to Ben and Jerry's? The Jewish laws. Yeah. So the Jews had laws, and they misapplied their law to the Messiah. They didn't give him a fair trial, but they really there was no way they could give him a fair trial, and there's a couple reasons why. One is you can't give the Messiah a fair trial unless you know him. If you don't know the Messiah, Pilate was actually trying to be fair with the guy. He was trying not to kill him. Really. He was scared. He feared him. He didn't know why. And his wife had a dream. And there's another scripture where she has a dream and she says, "Don't harm this man. I had a dream about him. Don't lay hands on him," you know. And Pilate didn't listen to her. He listened to the mob. Mob rule is what won the day. And that's where we are in America today. Mob rule dictates in America today. Mob rule is what impeached Donald Trump the first time. Mob rule is what impeached Donald Trump in the Congress. He was given no trial, no hearing. Even this trial that he's going through right now in the Senate is, you know, violating the Constitution of the United States. They're violating their own law. Yeah. Because, like I said, they're trying to convict a private citizen. And they don't have the power, according to the Constitution, to Article 1, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, they do not have the authority to try and convict a private citizen. Otherwise, they could try you and me. And I don't know why they're not making that an issue in his defense. I didn't see it. Did anybody else see that as an issue? Did you see that, Dave? I haven't seen that mentioned. That you know, you can't impeach. And second, they're not the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court isn't presiding, which is part of impeaching a president and convicting him, he's refused to preside. Well, there is no, it doesn't say, well, if the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court recuses himself from presiding, then the President Pro Tem of the Senate shall take his place. It doesn't say that. It says the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court must preside. So this is a kangaroo court. This is not following the Constitution or the laws of the United States of America, what they're doing. Now, President Trump may very well, they may not get the votes, you know, and when I went to bed last night, the word was it was not likely that they would get the votes to impeach him anyway, to convict him, not impeach him. He's already been impeached. Now it's about conviction. Now the question is, why do they want to convict the president? So he won't run again. Aja. Because they're afraid of him. That's a good one. How about this one? How about because they think he's president de jure by law, they think he really is president, and they want to get rid of him. They want to get him up, you know, just like the Pope. Maybe once in history have there ever been two popes. Popes don't retire, okay? Popes die. Popes die, and new popes are elevated from the College of Cardinals. Okay, smoke comes out of what's that place that at the Vatican there? That what? Vatican. The Vatican, but there's a hall. There's a place where they meet. The Sistine Chapel. Yeah, the popes meet in the Sistine Chapel with the Da Vinci's artwork on beautiful artwork on the ceiling and so forth, and they meet in that room. And then they release some smoke, and if it's a certain color, then they've found a, if it's white smoke, they have a pope. If it's black smoke, they haven't got one. And anyway, the Pope Benedict retired like 10 years ago. And this guy Francis took his place. I'm not sure about Vatican law or Roman Catholicism, but I didn't know that popes could retire. Now, I have a hunch they can't. I have a hunch we've got two popes, one who's de jure, the real thing, and one who is de facto. There was a papal coup. I believe there was a papal coup. How many of you agree with that? I think there was. The Trump trial right now sends the implication and the message that there has been a coup in the United States, that there's been a coup, because if you can't impeach a private citizen, you can't impeach a private citizen, why are they impeaching him? So yeah, they want to stop him. They don't want him to run for office again. But if he's a private citizen, they can't impeach him. And the Supreme Court, you have to have three things happen. You have to have the Supreme Court justice, Chief Justice. You have to have a sitting president, and you have to have a 2/3 majority vote to convict him. They may get that. But they don't have the first two elements in order to have the trial at all. Amen? So either they think he's president, they think he is president, and, you know, like you know how Pilate was afraid? I think somewhere in the back of Pilate's mind, he thought, this guy might really be the king of the Jews. You know, this guy might really be a king. And I might be putting a king to death. My neck could be on the line here. In fact, his neck was on the line. He probably went to hell for it. Okay? For crucifying the King of the Jews. He somehow knew it. I cannot say there was a coup. I only can tell you what I sense. Shakespeare said there's something rotten in Denmark. Something smells about this whole thing. Now, I don't know. I don't like to make judgment on things that I don't know, and I think people get in dangerous waters when they pass judgment on things that they don't know the facts. And we don't know all the facts about, and it's for us, it's not for us to pass judgment. And it says in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm almost done, but I'm trying to tackle a subject that God gave me at 7:30 this morning. So forgive me if I'm a little scattered. But in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 28, I think it is, Joe Biden is president. Now, here's what it says. In verse 28, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar that will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind. I'm sorry. I meant, oh Lord, Carol, you gave me that scripture. Maybe it's 22. Now somebody look that up for me again. I had it last week and I didn't. I should have just. What? No, honey. Raises up kings and brings them down. God raises up kings and he brings them down. It's in Daniel 2. If somebody could look that up for me. It's very simple. Please. Take a second. God raises up kings and he brings them down. All right, when you find it, let me know. In Daniel 2, it says that God raises up kings and he brings them down. Verse 21. It is he who changes the times and the epochs, God. He removes kings and he establishes kings. Okay? So, whatever happened with Trump in the election, nothing he could do, whether he claimed there was fraud, he couldn't prove it. He couldn't get a court to accept it. Every door that he tried slammed in his face. Every attempt... Every state legislature he tried to get to side with him didn't side with him. Every state, no state, not one, that where there was said to be election fraud came out and said, yeah, there was election fraud. Not one. Not Nevada, not Wisconsin, not Michigan, not Pennsylvania, not Arizona. Not Georgia. Amen? Not one state agreed with Trump or his attorneys that there was voter fraud. I didn't see the evidence. Did you? I can't say that there was, although something isn't sitting right with me. But I can't, bottom line is, God's word says he raises up kings and he removes kings and he establishes kings. Joe Biden is the president. He's got the power. God saved Joe Biden. Amen. That's what we have. I mean, you know, I didn't vote for Obama. And for years, I was, you know, frustrated with the outcome. And the Lord finally spoke to me and said, Joe, I put him in there. He's my man. That's what he said to me. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. I put him in there. There's nobody. You remember, this is the God who allowed Nero and Caligula, who allowed Stalin and Mao, who allowed Pol Pot and all these different tyrants to rule in throughout history. Hitler, you know. This is the same God who allowed all these people and all the wicked kings of Israel and Judah, that, you know, Jezebel and Ahab and so forth. He allowed them, he gave them power and allowed them for some reason, whatever his reason is. It's beyond me. Amen? It's beyond me. So, you know, whether there was a, you know, an actual coup, I don't know. I really don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm troubled by this trial, this impeachment trial. I'm troubled for our country. I'm troubled for America. And what I see happening are laws being implemented against free speech. Laws being implemented against the rights of people. The 75 to 80 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump, whether you did or didn't. You may be sitting here or watching today, and you may not be a Trump supporter, and God bless you. You know, but the fact is, you should be concerned too, because if they can do it to him, they can do it to you. If they can do what they're doing to Donald Trump, they can do it to anybody. Amen? If they can do it to General Flynn, they can do it to you. And they probably will. And as the lawyer closed his arguments last night, he warned the people. He said, it doesn't matter which side you're on. He said, I hope that if the Republicans come back into power, they don't seek revenge and try to do the same thing 4 years from now. And you notice Donald Trump did not try to impeach or prosecute Hillary Clinton. He never made an attempt to prosecute her. He didn't go after her. They didn't go after Comey. They just kind of left the previous administration alone. They didn't go after Obama. They just moved on, you know. And I'm troubled for this country. I'm very concerned of where we're headed, and it reeks to me of Nazi Germany. And the interesting thing is you and I, me a Jew, and many of you African American, are being called, you know, privileged. I guess if you're not white, I don't know what do they call people who aren't white? They call us privileged white guys, white males, privileged white males. But if you're not white, what do they call you? Anybody? If you don't agree with them, they must have a name for you. What? Expect everybody to be what? Democratic? Yeah, but there's a lot of people, you know, ethnic people that aren't. They call them traitors. Okay. Well, you know, there's really. we're heading toward down a path very similar, and I think I'm going to try to bring someone in to teach on the laws of what happened in Nazi Germany in the 2 years leading up to the Holocaust, maybe in the 1938 to 1940. It got really bad in 1938 and 1939. By 1939, Jews couldn't leave Germany. They could not get out of Germany. It was virtually impossible to get out of Germany by 1939. If you didn't get out by 1938, you were, you know. And we're too complacent, people. Yeah. We are too complacent. They can take away your rights to own. They took away the Jews' rights to own gold and silver. They took away the Jews' rights to make a living. They took away the Jews' rights probably to have bank accounts, probably to own property. They took away their rights to own property. They took away, they made them turn in their valuables, their gold and silver, their guns. They had gun laws and registration and all that stuff that they're talking about that now. They want to try that again. They're, you know, going after people's guns again. This is where we're headed, and it concerns me very deeply that they're going in that direction. They're moving very fast. As I said, President Biden has signed over 50 executive orders. I don't know that Congress has had a chance to pass a single law since he's been president, maybe one or two. But, I don't know. It's moving very fast, and we should be very concerned. And that's basically, so let's conclude. What is truth? What is truth? You who know the Messiah, you know the truth. And you who know the Messiah, you hear his voice. And his voice will guide you into all truth. And those who are in the world, they don't know his voice. They can't know his voice. And many, the love of many is growing cold, and they're not able to hear. Even though they may be believers on some level, they have fallen away, and they have lost the ability to hear the truth. And for me, the truth, yes, this whole book is the truth, the gospel, the Old Testament pointing to the gospel, and the New Testament, which is the story of the gospel. But the fact that what's that? Sorry, did you say something? Yeah. We believers in the Messiah, we know something's not right. We know something's not right. We know there's something wrong, and we don't know what to do except pray. All we can do is pray, because we don't have the power. And I haven't seen our governor or our lieutenant governor or our senators in our state get on TV and say, okay, or we're having a town meeting or, you know, a state meeting. Here's the plan, gang. You know, it seems like we're on our own. You know, it seems as though we're just on our own. And, Pilate, he didn't know what truth was, but you and I do. You and I know what truth is. And I've said this before and I'll say it again in conclusion. Whatever party stands for life and is the party of truth. Whatever party stands for Israel is the party of truth. if you stand for Yeshua, if you stand with Israel, and if you stand for life, then you are on the right side of history. Amen? Yeah. And that's for me is the bottom line. That's the plumb line. Amen? My God is the God of Israel and His Son, Yeshua the Messiah. I believe in life, that we are to choose life and not kill babies under any circumstances. If somebody gets raped and so forth, my belief is they should have the baby and put it up for adoption if they don't want it. But, you know, I'm sorry that they had to go through that terror, that horrible thing. But I don't think the child didn't have a choice. No, none of us had a choice about the circumstances of our birth, did we? None of us could pick our parents, could we? So, you know, who gives us the right to play God and decide whether we live or die? Amen? So, that's the foundation, the minimal foundation. If you stand for life, if you support Israel, and you stand for the Messiah, a lot of people say they stand for the Messiah, but they really don't. They don't follow His words. One thing to say, yeah, I follow Jesus, but Jesus was a radical. Jesus was a communist, I've heard. No, Jesus wasn't a communist. He fed the multitudes, but He wasn't a communist. Amen. Amen. He was a theocrat. He said, "My kingdom is of another world." His kingdom is a kingdom where the streets are going to be paved of gold, where jewels are going to line the walls and the gates of the city. Amen. And you know, there's going to be freedom, not fear. His is a kingdom of freedom, of liberty. No fear. No, amen, no death. Eternal life in His kingdom. Abundance. Mansions. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? He's gone to prepare a mansion for you. He has crowns laid up for you, treasures in heaven laid up for you and me. Amen? What can man do to me? The Bible says. People say to me, "How are you doing?" Well, I'm fighting cancer. They say, "How are you doing?" I say, "If I were any better, I'd have wings." You know, if I were any better, I'd have wings. And that's the truth. You know, I have nowhere to go but up. I really don't. I have nowhere to go but up. I have nothing to lose. There's nothing man can do to me. No one can take your salvation from you. No one. There's nothing man can do to you. You know, Stephen, but does that mean you should run into martyrdom? No. It says in John 7, they did not speak of him openly, of Yeshua. There was a very dangerous time. It was the Feast of Sukkot. And it says that his followers did not speak of him openly for fear of the Jews. For fear of the Jews. They did not speak. They spoke. They whispered. There's a time to shout it, and there's a time to tame it. Amen? There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to speak. God will show you that time if you're sensitive. Amen? He'll show you when it's time to shout. But don't be walk in fear. Walk in wisdom. There were times when the disciples met in private, in secret. Peter had just gotten out of jail. They brought him to somebody's house. They closed the door. They looked out the window to see who it was. You know, they were meeting in secret. You can read that. Look that up. They met in secret. It's in the Bible. You know, there were times when they met in secret, and there were times when Paul preached it on Mars Hill and said, you know, men of Athens, you know, let me tell you who this statue to the unknown God is. Let me tell you who your unknown God is. There's a time and a purpose to everything under heaven. Amen. And we must use discernment. We must have knowledge. Without knowledge, my people, the people perish. We must know what's going on. And you know, I urge you all to keep up with the news at least an hour a day. Know what's going on in the country and in the world. There's so much happening so fast. Amen. Know. Take the time. There's so many. Well, you can still get the news. Because one day, I suspect that they'll walk in and they'll, you know, you won't be able to listen to certain people that you listen to, because they'll say, yeah, I'm sorry, they were picked up. They were taken in for questioning on their way to the station. And you'll never hear from them again. I have a feeling that day's coming. And it won't just be one. They'll round up 20 of them at one time. You mark my words. So, anyway, what is truth? What is truth? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yeshua is the truth. Yeshua is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Son of God. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Savior. He is God in the flesh. Know the Messiah, and you will know what truth is. Amen? Amen. Read His Word, and you will know what truth is even more. Read the Word of God. Meet the Messiah. If you don't know Him, ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you. And He will. And you can know the truth. You don't have to be ignorant like Pilate, who didn't know what to do. Amen? You don't have to be ignorant. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. And God, may the Holy Spirit lead you into truth. And may your love in this Valentine's weekend, may your love stay hot and not grow cold. Amen. May the Holy Spirit breathe on the embers in your heart and keep your love alive. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just want to let you know that Diane's gone out to get...
just as the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb. I'll pour my spirit.